Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week I have Yvonne Edwards, who's a psychologist and awesome neighbor. Good morning, Yvonne.
Hey, Ann.
So we're going to talk about a brain spotting, which is something that you probably haven't heard of because probably most people haven't heard of it. Brain spotting is a psychological technique that is was developed by David Grand in 2003, approximately. And like all new ideas, it takes a while to get into the common thinking, and or not, depending on whether it has value or not. And he has written books and given talks and does trainings. In fact, we were just looking at a schedule. The closest to where we are would be, Boulder, Colorado in like June. There he's doing a training. So let's talk about what brain spotting is, what it might be used for, and where it is in the, you know, in the whole realm of psychological work.
Okay. Well, most therapists have heard of EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
And we've done programs here about that.
Okay, so that entered the mainstream in the early 90s.
Well, I wouldn't even say mainstream. Not really mainstream. Most people having therapy don't have EMDR.
Okay, but it became useful and accepted by a lot of therapists then, mm-hmm. including me, in mm-hmm. the 90s. Mm-hmm. And it was a breakthrough.
It's a hugely helpful tool.
Right.
I mean, I have been amazed how many of my patients who have had trauma, it helps. And so we should talk about what we're talking about is therapies that are helpful for people that have experienced trauma.
Yes.
Right?
So yeah. EMDR was the first breakthrough in my private practice for me because it allowed me to work with clients beyond talk therapy, but nothing too woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not woo-woo, but I'm not good at other types of therapy like energy work and all that. I just isn't my thing. So EMDR came along, and I took the class, and I read the book, and then I went to an EMDR therapist for a year and a half to just get my own things. And the thing I want to say about that was Laurel Parnell wrote the book on EMDR and taught the class that I took. But for that year and a half, I tell you, I cannot remember one moment of connecting with her as a person. We did the technique every week, and it was very helpful. But I don't remember a single intimate moment with my therapist for a year and a half. Because EMDR is like that. Mm-hmm. It's a technique, and it's very prescribed. Okay, so this guy, David Brand, he had been an EMDR practitioner for years, and he actually integrated other important things with it, like sensory experiencing therapy. It's a very new kind of cool thing where the therapist is very attuned to the person and physically can touch them in certain areas that release deep trauma, blah, blah. It's very, very cool now. But mm-hmm. David Grand combined EMDR with sensory experiencing and developed his own deep flow therapy, EMDR therapy. But one day, what was so exciting, and what is a breakthrough, another breakthrough, he was working with a client, and he was doing the EMDR movement with his fingers, which is you pass your fingers across the vision field of your client slowly, and they look at your fingers while they're thinking about their trauma or their issues. And at one point, he noticed that the person's eyes started to wobble while they were looking at his fingers, and he just stopped. He stopped. Instead of keep moving, he stopped. And it turned out that was the beginning of finding the spot, the brain spot, that really is connected to the trauma in the brain.
So that the idea is that when we have a trauma, it actually lives somewhere.
Yes, it's stuck.
It's in a place.
In a spot, yes. Which is
That's very difficult to understand.
No, it is for me too, and I'm read everything I can.
Okay, and so he found that when the eye wobbled, was the person was most attuned to their trauma, or they were most
well the reflex, the wobble, and there is a list. Let me tell you a list of reflexes that he cued into that had to do with brain spots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the eye wobble, the eye freeze, the a lot of blinks, all of a sudden, a cough. A deep inhale, or eyes widening, eyes narrowing, a hard swallow, lip licking, a head tilt, nostril flares, and change in a facial expression. So these are the types of reflexes that have to do with the trauma, that are cues to the trauma being right there, right accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sees any of those, he stops his finger. That's how how brain spotting started. But then he started, what would happen is a person would stop, continue to look at the finger at that one spot and process things in their mind and in their body about their trauma that had not been accessible previously, even with EMDR.
Wow.
I know.
And so then what would happen is like the trauma would go away?
Yeah.
And then they would be free from it.
Free. And in fact...
What a relief.
This is what... There's this, an article by this woman, Catherine Hart. She's a therapist, too, and now. And she... This is something that's fascinating is because this is a core piece of what he believes. That she was, like, thrown away as a hopelessly mentally ill person. After years of... being fine and having a life, she was triggered by having to deal with her sexually abusive stepfather, or actually it was her father, while her mother was dying. So she was there with her mother, and then she had to deal with the father, and it brought back all these horrible memories that she had pushed aside for years and lived with fine, and it was doing okay. So she went crazy. I mean, after that, she couldn't eat, she couldn't, she lost weight. She was just ended up in 19 different mental hospitals over the years. She lost everything. And people said all the different psychiatrists tried every good drug. They tried everything to help her and nothing worked. And they were just saying, well, that's it.
Right. She's a failure.
We can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
So she found a therapist who did brain spotting with her. And the core belief of brain spotting therapists is that every human being can recover their mental health, not only recover, but thrive and have post-traumatic wellness, which is kind of a word that's never been said on the air here. Post-traumatic wellness.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too. It's such a positive
thing. It's taking
thing.
Back that horribly yes. negative term.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so
what happened with her?
Well, she got through everything.
So she got well
in
again.
In 10 months of doing this. In 10 months, she got well, not only well, but thriving. And now she works with people, too. And, so I was inspired to hear that. Because in a way, as a therapist for many years, I sometimes think, maybe that's not going to work. Or maybe this person can never get... You know, I've had those thoughts.
Right.
And this brain spotting is a way that works directly with the brain, through the eyes... And the attunement of the therapist. We can't have a therapist who just does it. It's not a technique only.
There's art.
There's art and there's the belief that this person can be helped. And you just have to find the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, they're just pointless. And so many people in mental health agencies feel that way. And it's sad. So anyway, the motto... that he came up with, that David Grand came up with or says, is where you look affects how you feel.
Now that is interesting. And when you first mentioned this to me, I thought that seemed rather weird. And then you tried it on me. And there is a place.
Yes.
That now all those things on that list, I don't remember any of those. But what I do remember was it didn't feel good. my eye actually didn't feel good in the one place. I didn't looking there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I looked in another place, which was, I think was like down and like more to the right, that went away. And so, okay, so if we were going to do this therapy,
mm-hmm.
what do you do in the place that you don't want to be? You know, I mean, that's the place where you would want to avoid, because that's like, it doesn't feel good.
You want to, actually, when you're in a therapeutic relationship and you're trying to get to your trauma, you want to go to that place. You want to find the activation.
How do you convince yourself you should be there when it feels icky? Or is that the therapist's job, is to like guide you to be there?
Well, it's a collaboration. You uh-huh. don't have to go there. Nobody's going to force you to go there. But if you want to get better, mm-hmm. you have to go there once in a while for a little bit.
A little while. Okay. So you know what I mean? I could go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where that place is now, which, I mean, like, it seems weird that there's such a thing.
I know. It's still, brain science is still not in the mainstream. A lot of work has been done in the last 10 years. So when I stepped back into doing therapy, which I got my license last year and I started looking around at what's going on, this is the only thing that interested me, because it goes past a lot of, I mean, talking is great and it's effective. Yes, it's good.
Well,
but
wait a minute.
This brings in the brain.
Yeah. You know, the problem I have with talking, and when you're talking about trauma, is I disagree. I do not think it works.
Really?
No. The last thing a person who's been traumatized wants to do is talk about the trauma. And that's what's so beautiful about EMDR.
I know.
You get well. And
you don't have to talk about it.
You don't talk about it.
Right.
And I mean, you ask someone who's just come back from war.
Yeah, no.
Would you want to tell me about your experience? Hell no.
Okay, but that's true that sometimes a therapist will jump in too fast with somebody who's traumatized. Say, hey, tell me everything horrible that happened to you, and you hardly know me, and I'm kind of look like the perpetrator, but go ahead and talk to me anyway, you know.
That's going to work
really
well.
That doesn't work, uh-huh. but John Breer, who's another trauma specialist, one of the best in the country, he talks about complicated trauma.
You know what? We should talk about what is trauma. Because we haven't defined it. Let's define trauma.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to read a little bit about
this. It's okay.
Okay. This is from the DSM-4, not the 5, which is the new one, which I don't have access to right now. But basically, the person who is traumatized has been exposed to a traumatic event in which both of the following were present. I hate reading this, but anyway, it's better. The person experienced, witnessed, or was confronted with an event that involved actual or threatened death or serious injury or a threat to the physical integrity of self or others. So it was a really horrible event. And then 2, the person's response involved intense fear, helplessness, or horror. Now, in children, this may be expressed instead by disorganized or agitated behavior, like their reaction to it. Okay, and B, the traumatic event is persistently re-experienced in one or more of the following ways. 1, recurrent and intrusive distressing recollection of the event, including images, thoughts, or perceptions. Like with children, it's repetitive play. I mean, I repetitively played with my dolls for a while when I had a traumatic event, and that did help. Secondly, recurrent distressing dreams of the event. Acting or feeling as if the traumatic event were recurring, including a sense of reliving, which is pretty awful for a lot of people.
And it's very common.
It's very common. And then intense psychological distress at the exposure or to internal or external cues that symbolize or resemble an aspect of the traumatic event. There's a lot of stories I can tell you. Physiological reactivity or exposure to internal or external cues that symbolize or resemble an aspect of the traumatic event. So, and then the third one is persistence avoidance. So basically it's, you have this experience, you either re-experience it in many ways or you avoid in many ways. And avoidance is very common.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's why so many people with PTSD turn to alcohol or drugs or sexual acting out or anything that
takes you away
from that.
Right.
And the
talking about brain spotting. My guest is Yvonne Edwards. She's a psychologist, therapist.
I'm a therapist.
Well, give me a break. You have a PhD in psychology.
But you don't. I don't have that license. There's a psychologist is a license thing.
Okay.
I am licensed, but not that way.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that music was...
This music was developed. I'm not sure if he actually is playing the music. I can't see that on the thing here. But it says he's got a new CD music set. He's created a versatile audio tool to help you balance and enhance the brain's functioning. Okay, so when I do therapy with people, this is playing in the background. You can play it, and you can buy it and play it in your house by yourself, and it does help balance your brain.
Okay, so this is David Grand again.
Okay, yeah, very versatile. He's also a writer. He's very interesting. So we talked about what the description of trauma. Now, I think the change in the DSM-5 is that you no longer have to wait 30 days to be diagnosed with trauma. In the past, you had to have all these symptoms and wait 30 days. So here you are, you just saw somebody killed or you were raped, and you have to wait 30 days to get a diagnosis. Now, I think they've changed that.
Oh.
Yeah. They're always fooling with the DSM.
Well, right, every year. Every,
well, yeah, a lot, anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the idea is to improve it and to be more accurate with our diagnoses. But sometimes it makes things worse and more difficult for all of us, and sometimes it makes it easier.
Why don't I give you a description of brain spotting in the session so that you get an idea of...
Great.
And I'm taking this also from this woman... who was so traumatized and got better.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so the therapist basically acts as a guide, but you are in charge of your own process. And that's where when you are overactivated, your trauma's like really up and you can't handle it, you can look away. You can stop and go to a calmer place. And you just work on it as much as you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And to get comfortable to the point you're even willing to work on it, you have to have a good relationship with your therapist.
Oh, sure.
It's not a method. It's not just a technique. You have to be connected, attuned is what he called it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. And how it starts is either with some breathing and or both this music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... David Grand plays this music in the sessions while he's working with the eye movement.
And so does he recommend that therapists use some kind of relaxation? I mean, it seems like very relaxing music.
He does. At least a little bit to start. Okay, and then you pay attention in your body to where you feel the most distress. Like he's really connecting... into the part of your mind about that's about the trauma with your body. So let's say you feel it in your chest. So you give it a 0 to 10 rating for the level that you're feeling it, like with EMDR. And then the therapist helps you find the eye position or the brain spot, a point in front of you where the eye naturally goes when you're focusing on your pain. So let's say you're feeling it in your chest and you're looking to the upper right.
Okay.
And it gets worse. You could actually feel it, and you're supposed to try to get in touch with the physical feeling while you're looking around for that spot.
Is there always a physical feeling?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that yet.
But there might be.
He assumes there is.
Okay, so that gives you obviously a physical and an emotional and a brain connection.
Right, it's all the connections.
Okay.
So then you look at that spot, and there's different ways to look at the spot. For instance, he has found that if some people look at the spot right in front of their face, like a foot away, that has maybe more intensity than if you move your pointer. He uses one of those... sticks, those pointing sticks. He can move that pointer back to go all the way back to the back so that your eye is looking further away, and it might either diminish your activation or enhance it. So you find this, it could be all over the room. I mean, it could be anywhere. And you have to find that spot and be attuned to yourself. And the therapist has to be attuned to your reactions, your reflexes.
Okay, is this something, so I'm thinking, okay, I have fingers,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
You could do it to yourself.
Okay, that was my question.
Yes.
Can I find a spot? Now, okay, if I have never experienced any trauma, it's unlikely that I would have a spot, right? Or is the human experience pretty much universally that everyone's had some kind of trauma and everyone should be able to find some spot where they feel weird?
Let's assume that's true, because okay. Living in our world, there's always something.
Well, I mean, millions of years ago,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, imagine, you know, like you just saw the... whatever.
The dinosaur.
No, the mammoth ran over your
oh,
mom.
Yeah, that's all,
you know,
yeah, that
I mean,
stuff,
right?
Right?
I mean,
right.
I think it might have been much more brutal.
But you know what else? He uses this stuff with athletes to enhance their athletic ability. You don't have to have like a debilitating trauma to use this.
That's great. It's another facet,
yeah.
Improving performance, maybe even mental performance.
And he uses the example of Tiger Woods, who after all the big scandal, he never got his swing back because of the trauma of all that horribleness that he had to go through publicly and the shame and all that. It ruined his performance. And he could get it back, but he would have to deal with that spot. So he works with ice skaters and all kinds of musicians to enhance them. Like, for instance, there's an ice skater that he worked with that started all this for him. This is the person that started him on this path. She couldn't do a certain triple spin and land correctly. She could do everything else, and she was professional, but that was the one thing she couldn't do. And so they worked on that thing until it cleared out whatever that fear was.
Uh-huh.
And then she could do it. And
wow.
So it's kind of an amazing, it's not just for trauma. Trauma is one part of how this can be useful.
But that's like one of those, it makes me think of, it's like something that's limiting your life.
Yes.
In her case, it was the ability to do that one thing that would make her the best.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't have some place in their
exactly.
life that's not where they're at their potential?
Exactly.
Everyone
does. The reason I'm so excited is because I know I have issues that I have a lot of different therapies in my past, including EMDR, which did help me, and all my therapies have helped me. But I still have this stuff going on. I can get mad easily at things, and, you know, I'm critical.
Ditto.
I mean,
yes,
all my stuff.
Yeah.
And
we
so
all,
I would like
we all
to
do. Yes, we all do.
I think of this as another way for me to get a better to get better
mm-hmm.
from where
mm-hmm.
I am and, mm-hmm. and feel better.
So. Well, okay, so if this is something that might help someone, I mean, potentially anyone,
mm-hmm.
how do you get started with doing it? I mean, are you doing it? I mean, are you taking on clients to do this?
I am, but I want them to know that I'm still
learning
and it's experimental. And I have worked with
a couple people. But it's not experimental in terms of a technique. It is it works,
but...
No, I mean, but it's considered legitimate...
Yes, it is.
And it's billable.
Which, yes.
I mean, if it's billable to insurance, then it's legitimate,
well,
even if it doesn't work.
But
right?
Here's the other thing. Any therapist using any kind of psychology can use this as an enhancement tool
uh-huh.
in their regular therapy. It's
okay.
not like its own therapy.
It could be or not.
It could be or not.
Okay.
Right.
All right. All right. So what contact information would you like to give? If someone listening wants to explore this more, how do they do that?
Well, they could call me or email me. My email is long. It's Astoria, Yme. 2014@gmail. I know, because I was hacked, so I have a long email now. And my number is 503-338-7202.
That's much more manageable.
That's manageable. I'm also in the phone book, and I'm just beginning to do this, so it would be in a collaboration between me and whoever
okay.
wants to come and try.
Well, It's really pretty cool. I mean, it was amazing. We were just sitting on your couch
yeah,
after
yeah.
having dinner or whatever it was we were doing. And it was different. I mean, yeah. There was a place for me that was different than the other places.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to think about exploring that, what that might mean, maybe unlocking my potential to solve some awesome problem on the planet like mine,
yes,
or some other.
That's a good thought. I like that. Yeah. And I did that with another friend, mm-hmm, who's in graduate school, and she has a horrible time in this one class. It would trigger some of her own issues. And we did that with her, and she found her spot that when she looked like you, when she looked up, it was more intense. And so now she sits in that class so that her eye can, her, she's not looking at, she's on the side with the other eye looking at the class more than this eye, and it's helped her.
Interesting.
It's funny how this works. I'm truly amazed, and I feel the potential in it so much for everyone to find a way to use it yourself. Somebody said, well, if you did find your spot, you could have a map that you could carry with you with the spots, your good spot and your activating spot on this map. And whenever you feel a little freaked out, mm-hmm, you can just put this up somewhere and look at it. You could help yourself. This is one of those things where you can work on your own issues by yourself once you, mm-hmm, are comfortable with it.
So could any therapist who's listening to this, or who somebody who's listening to this knows, go and have this training if they wanted to have it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I think you do have to be a therapist.
Okay.
You have to have
some kind of license.
Yeah. I would like to go as when he comes to the West Coast. I'm not going to Boulder to go. I mean, some people love to go traveling when they do their things. I do not.
Okay, so we're waiting for Seattle or Portland.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Maybe LA.
Maybe Astoria. Who knows? I mean, maybe we'll get him out here.
I think there'd have to be a big enough group that would deal with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is really an exciting thing. And I think when new things come along, you always get the naysayers who say, oh, that is such baloney. And, of course, every new idea is always throughout history thought of as baloney, mm-hmm, until it stands the test of,
right,
well, the baloney didn't fall down. And so, you know, eventually people go, oh, well, that has an application. And, you know, whether it makes sense or not, if it helps, why not utilize it?
Right.
I mean, whatever it is, even if it seems woo-woo and weird, if it helps you, who cares?
That's right. Well, one other weird thought was, or thing he said was, some optometrist actually developed a part of this where he worked with a patient who had panic attacks in his office using the eye movement, not movement sideways, but back distance. And it cured her panic attacks for a year. So even a person who isn't a therapist actually can help people with this. But
wow.
But he knew about the eye movement. He was an optometrist. So he actually wrote a paper on this. So anyway, it's going to
cool.
be bigger.
So I think that people should keep their eyes out and,
yeah,
you know,
their
read
eyes
about
out.
Keep their eyes out, right? Look for those spots and,
yeah,
you know, just see how it develops. And we'll have to check in a couple of whatever, you
yeah,
know,
maybe,
a couple
yeah.
years and see how you, okay, how it's grown and what's happened and how it's changed. And it'll be fun. And I'm going to play around with this because I think it's really
okay.
cool.
Good.
My guest has been Yvonne Edwards. She is a therapist, and we've been talking about brain spotting. You've been listening to Your Health on Coast Community Radio.